foes are many. They rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way.
Father God, we just come before you tonight and we open our hearts and our minds to hear from you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this would not be the words of flesh, but the words of the Spirit. Lord, as you have given unto them to me, please help me, Lord God, to give them unto them. Equip them, each and every one of them, Lord, for the wars that they are in. Come supernaturally tonight and speak to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your Bibles and open them tonight to Isaiah 37, please. Isaiah 37. there she is. Thank you for joining us. Everyone was looking for you. We were not going to eat dinner till everyone was present, so I'm glad you joined us. Isaiah 37, verses 31 through 32. I want you to get out your pens for those of you that write in your Bible, and there's a few things I want you to underline in your Bible tonight out of this verse. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. Underline remnant, take root below and bear fruit above. Once more, a remnant from the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant. Underline that again. Out of Jerusalem will come a remnant. And out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors. Underline, out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. I went and listened to a pastor's preach, and preached the very thing that God's been preaching to me for about 3 weeks. One of the things he said was, he's been a minister a long time. He said, I used to count numbers, and now God has taught me to look for the remnant. I'm not counting numbers anymore. He said, I'm looking for the remnant. I'm not worried about numbers. I'm not worried about trying to fill numbers. I'm worried about pouring into the remnant. Here's what a remnant is. A remnant is something left over. A remainder. A surviving trace or vestige. A piece of fabric remaining after the rest has been used up or sold. A small surviving group of people. The remnant. The remnant. Out of Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the church of Jesus Christ. Out of Mount Zion, the church of Jesus Christ, will come a remnant. Not just in this body, but in the body of Christ. If you're looking anywhere, you will see that there are a lot of people dispersing out of the church of Jesus Christ right now. And the remnant is remaining. The church of Jesus Christ has come under profound war and profound attacks, as the word of God said it would in the last days. And the only thing that's going to remain is that you're going to see a remnant that is going to rise up. A remnant which is a small, surviving group of people, not a large crowd of people. A small, surviving group of people, it says, will remain. You have heard Pastor Jerry and I talk for a long time, those of you that have been around us for a long time, and probably at least for 5 years, we have said to you all, you need to get ready, you need to get ready, you need to get ready, you need to get ready. Hard times are coming, hard times are coming. You need to get ready. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. When war comes, you need to be ready. When war comes, it is not the time to get ready. You need to be ready when war comes. And when war comes, everything changes. Everything changes. You've heard Pastor Jerry say this for years. When you're at war, there's a whole lot of things that you do when you're not at war that you can't do anymore. A lot of your hobbies have to stop. Your financial resources end up going in a completely different place. You don't have as many extracurricular things that you do. Everything changes when you are at war. The way you think has to change. The way you act has to change. How you spend your money has to change. How you interact with people has to change. Your prejudices, your judgments, all that other nonsense has to change when you are at war. Everything must change. And I don't know about you, but I'm in a holy war right now. I'm in the war of my lifetime. And not only is quitting not an option, but for me, losing is not an option. How about you? Losing is not an option for me. And I'm going to tell you what, we have some CDs, and I'm going to have Brandy make them in the offices this week. And Pastor and I taught on this, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. We talked about a holy war. And what the difference between a holy war is and just a normal war. Normal wars and skirmishes, you can recover from them. You can lose them in whatever. A holy war, you better not ever lose it. Losing is not an option because there is far too much at stake in a holy war. I'm in a holy war, and I tell you, I would venture to guess every one of you are too. And a lot of people are kind of like, woo, what's going on? And I'm scared, and I don't understand, and this is kind of spooky, and I don't get all of this. And you know what? That's what people say when they go to war. It's really loud. It's kind of scary. I think I want to go home and watch TV. Right? It's not that fun, right, Jordan? Right. You're in a holy war. Losing is not an option. No. You have far too much invested to turn around and quit or to back out now and go, oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. It is a holy war, and she's not quitting, and she's not losing. It says, out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors. A band of survivors. Not a bunch of survivors. Words are so important. So important. It doesn't say that a bunch of survivors are coming out of Mount Zion. It says a band of survivors. Now, here's the difference. Look around the room. What you see right now is a bunch of survivors. Do you know how I know? Because 5 months ago, this room looked different. But a whole bunch of people scattered because war came and they got scared. And then there was the remnant. And then there was the survivors. And then those were those that said, this is not just about me. There's a holy war here, and I'm going to fight. Right. I'm going to fight for God and for what is right and for God's dream and for God's people, and I'm not just going to run. But when you look around you here right now, what you see is a bunch of survivors, like a bunch of sticks or a bunch of grapes. Individual things that are just kind of clumped together. That's not what's surviving. What's surviving is a band of survivors. Here's a band. Everybody stand up, put your stuff down. Becca, come over here. Abby, come over here. Grab your daughter. Don't just grab her hand, go like this. Come on. Let's make a band. Everybody. What is a band? Go down the aisles there. Like a belt. Grab hold right down there, Lizzie. Go over there by Val. Grab somebody. Okay. This is not a bunch. This is a band. We may all be individuals, but we are bonded and banded together in unity in a completely different way than a bunch. Out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors will come, not a bunch. If we're just going to try to personally survive, we're going to get picked off one by one. But if we band together like this, look at Crystal's belt. Crystal's belt is a band. It's individual pieces of something that have all been bonded together in a powerful, unified way. Out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors will remain. We cannot be a bunch of survivors. If we're going to remain, we have to be a band of survivors, which means we are this close. We are this connected. We are this unified. We are this determined to survive. Mm-hmm. Quitting is not an option.
Right.
And losing holy wars is never
right.
an option. It was not an option for Jesus Christ to lose his. And it's not going to be an option for us as his children to lose his. Amen? Mm-hmm. So tonight, humor me. And let's all sit in one section. Let's all sit together. Like we're part of the same unified. If we are going to be part of the surviving remnant, I don't know about you, but I'm going to. I have way too much bloodshed in this cause by now to not survive. I will not die. He may kill me and I'll go to heaven, but then I win anyway. But I'm not going to die. I have too much invested. And I know your guys' story. You have too much invested. And if we're going to survive and we're going to be part of this band of survivors, and if you want your family members to survive, your husbands, your wives, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, whatever it is, you're going to have to be willing to fight. To fight. And not flee that which is trying to overtake you. And that which is trying to overtake your family. And that which is trying to overtake God's dream in your life. And that which is trying to overtake what? Whatever it may be. I'm going to tell you, I've said this for years, and I'm going to say it to you again tonight. The devil is playing for keeps. And you must also. He is not just playing around. He's playing for keeps. And he is not just playing hide and seek and catch and release. Like fishing. That's about the dumbest thing on the planet to me. I don't understand catch and release. I mean, I know there's all sorts of wildlife, wonderful ideas around it. But to me, it's a dumb idea. If I'm going to catch it, I'm going to keep it. And that's how the devil is too. If I'm catching it, I'm keeping it. I'm just not playing around. He's after you. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. And we have got to stop cowering and running from him. And we have got to learn how to turn around and confront him. And not be afraid. We've got to stop pretending that the devil is just going to get tired. And he's just going to get weary. And we're just going to be able to hang around long enough. And he's just going to leave. And I'm going to tell you it's not going to happen. You're going to have to demand that he leaves. You're going to have to say no more. I'm not waiting for you to leave anymore. In Jesus' name, you're leaving. You're going to have to stop walking around these mountains that you fear, going, well, maybe if I just go around it one more time, and well, last time I went around right foot first, this time I'll go around left foot. Maybe there's another mountain. You're going to have to say, mountain, move. I'm not going around you anymore. I'm sick and tired of going around you. You need to move around me. That's the attitude we have to begin to adopt. We have to face our enemy. Not like this. And not like this, and not like this. Look him square in the eye and say, let's go. You know what? Let's go. Because I ain't scared anymore. Because I got nothing to lose. You and me, face to face. And I'm going to win. That's the kind of courage you got to get in a holy war. If you're going to win it, you have got to take the authority and the blood of Jesus Christ that is rightfully yours, and you've got to destroy that what's destroying you. I said this to somebody today. If you're going to win, you better know what you believe. See, before you get to war, you better know what you're going to believe. Because by the time you're in war, it is not time to try to figure out what you believe. Because by then, he's just going to eat your lunch. You got to know what you believe. And then you got to square him straight up and go, let me tell you something about the blood of the Lamb. There is a bloodline that you cannot cross. That is mine in Jesus' name, and you can't have it. That man is mine, that woman is mine, that child is mine, that vision is mine, that dream is mine, and you can't have it in the name of Jesus. You cannot have it. You cannot cross it. You have got to stop allowing the thorns of your own flesh to cause you to bleed to death. And you have got to start using the blood of Jesus to limit and destroy him. That's what it's there for. The blood of Jesus was not just shed for the remission of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is so much more than that. One of which is to limit the enemy. And yet so often the thorns of our own flesh or the transgressions of others that become a thorn in our flesh cause us to bleed to death, and we never rise up and use the blood of Christ that was given to us to push him back, to limit him, to destroy him and say, no, you cannot have that. That is God's. You cannot have that person. They belong to God. You cannot have that person. They belong to me. I say no. I'm going to show you three different ways tonight that you need to begin to square up with your enemy. In the first one, we see with Moses and Pharaoh. By the authority and the power of God, every day, a very, very mortal man, he was nothing special. He was no more special than me or special than you. This mortal man stood up, first of all, to the captor of God's people, to the slave driver of God's people, and to the torturer of God's people. And he says, in the name of the Lord, let him go. He stood up to the captor of God's people. Captor of God's people is the one that is holding God's people in bondage. That's it. That's what a captor is. Some spirit, some oppression, some stronghold, and it's taking God's people and it's holding them in some sort of possession. That's what Pharaoh did. I've got you held right here. You're my slave. He was also the slave driver of God's people. He had the power to force God's people. These are not God's people. These are God's people. And he had the power to force God's people to do whatever he wanted them to do. Whether it lined up with the word of God or whether it didn't, he had the power to force them. That's what a captor does. And he was also the torturer of God's people. He was the one that had the power to torture their minds, to torture their bodies, to torture their emotions, and to torture their spirits. God's people. And Pharaoh had that power. And this mortal man came before him and said, let me tell you something. My God said to come here and tell you, let my people go. Let my people go. Do you know why he could do that? Because he believed in God. And he believed in the power of God. And he believed in the authority of God. And he knew that he carried it with him. And yet, he knew he had no power and he had no authority and he had no weapons to make this mighty Pharaoh do anything. But every day, he'd go up there and he'd go, let my people go. Let my people go that they might go worship God. Not just let my people go because, I don't know, they're going to all go scatter. There was a very specific reason. Let my people go that they might go and worship God. And by the power and the authority and the commission that the Lord God gave him, that's what he said every day. Let my people go that they might worship God. These people could not, these are the children of God, and they could not worship God because of the power of the enemy who held them. And yet every day, one guy got up and stood before that Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. The Lord said to tell you, not I'm here to tell you. The Lord said to tell you, let my people go. Let God's people go, that they might worship you. Now, I want to tell you, Pharaoh in this represents a hard heart. It represents a hard heart. Pharaoh had a very hardened heart. That's why it took such a long time, like you've heard us talk about before, for him to let God's people go. His heart was hardened, and that's why he held him in bondage. When we, or people that we know or love, allow our hearts to become hardened, we are no longer able to worship God. And our hearts, until our hearts get released from the grip of that Pharaoh, we cannot worship God. Have you ever tried to watch somebody in church worship God that you knew had a hard heart? They don't. They go for long walks. Or they just stand. And they just can't do it. With a hardened heart, you cannot worship God. You cannot. And that's what God was saying. Pharaoh, let my people go, that they might worship me. If you know somebody right now, or if you know your heart is hardened, you're going to have to get before Pharaoh, and you're going to have to say, let my man go. Let my woman go. Let my daughter go. Let me go. Pharaoh, let me go. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will hold me no more. Let me go. Matthew 16:19. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. With confidence in the authority that you have been given by God, you need to come before every day your Pharaoh and go, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let my wife's heart go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let my son's heart go. That they may worship you. That they may worship them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it is, I command that spirit of anger to loose my spouse right now, in the name of Jesus. You come before whatever it is that you see on, whoever it is that you know is on them and holding them like a captor, torturing that person that you love. And you say, let my people go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, unforgiveness, loose them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, anger, loose them. Fear, loose them. Doubt, loose them. Lust, loose them. Whatever it is, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, evil, vile spirit, to loose them. Let them go, that they may go and worship you. Amen. The second way we see with David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 19. Oh, and when, here's the other thing. If you say, in the name of the Lord, loose them from anger, loose them from fear, loose them from a spirit of confusion, loose them from the demonic hold of chaos, loose them in Jesus' name, then bind to them the Lord's things. Don't just leave them floundering all there with nothing. Now you got to bind. Bind to them right now the mind of Jesus Christ. Bind to them right now. Bind to their heart the love of God. Bind to their heart the peace of God. Bind to their heart the joy of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that you know is of God, you better bind it to them. Not just like tie a bow around it. I'm talking you smash that thing in there and you bind it tight. Bind the love of God to their heart. Loose them from anger and bind the love of God to their heart. Bind the sound. I rebuke you, spirit of confusion, in Jesus' name. You will no longer hold my husband, my wife, my child, my dream, my whatever it is. Let them go. And I bind to them the mind of Christ. I bind to them the wisdom of Christ. I bind to them the truth of Christ. You lying spirit, loose my family in Jesus' name and bind to them the truth of Christ. I don't know what it is, but loose them of the right thing, bind the right thing, and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. Amen. And if it's you, tell them, let me go. Let me go. In 1 Samuel 17, we see David and Goliath. David says, so you guys all know the story, so I won't go back through all the story, and I'm not going to read it all because you guys all know the story, but the story is Goliath comes out every day, this great big huge giant. And he makes all of these threats and intimidating statements to the armies of God. And they're shaking, and they're trembling, and they're afraid, and nobody wants to fight him. And David, he goes in verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Now, I want you to get a picture. I think in the New King James it says rail against. Somebody have that? Defy. There's another translation that says rails against the armies of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The armies of God. This isn't just like the people of God. This is not just like we've got Goliath and he's gone in and there's all the girls and the kids and they're all like, oh, he's a big giant. This is the armies of God. And yet they're shaking and they're terrified and they're intimidated and they're afraid. Now here's what an uncircumcised Philistine is. An uncircumcised Philistine is a powerful unbeliever. That's all it is. It is somebody who is uncircumcised is somebody who has not circumcised their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are an unbeliever, powerful unbeliever. I want you to think about this in regards to your life or in regards to the life of somebody you're fighting for right now. Who is the powerful unbeliever that's creating an intimidation and fear? You can't be on the offensive because you're back. You're trembling. You're intimidated. See, David came up and he said, who is this powerful unbeliever that dares to fight against the people of God? Who is this powerful unbeliever who dares to take these strong men who are warriors in the Lord's army and cause them to quake and to shiver and to be afraid and I can't take a step and I don't know what to do? See, this is what Goliath did. And I'm going to tell you, the spirit of Goliath is still among us today. It is still here today. It is a powerful, unbelieving influence that comes daily to intimidate the armies of God. A powerful, unbelieving influence that comes to intimidate the warriors of the Lord. To cause them to get out of their offensive position, and I'm just in the defense, and I'm just reacting, and I'm just scared, and I don't know what is the right thing to do, and I'm intimidated. Intimidating the people that carry the fullness of God's authority and the fullness of God's power and who are bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and Goliath has got him back here. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's somebody you know. And that Goliath every day has got them scared to death. The spirit of Goliath comes, and his goal is to bring down the mighty, the strong, the powerful. Those that carry weapons, those that have gone in and taken people out of the enemy's camp and brought them onto God's side. And eventually the spirit of Goliath goes, oh, no, no, no more. I'm taking you down. I'm about tired of how many you've taken away from me and put on the Lord's side. So see, I'm going to go steal some from the Lord's army. And he makes them tremble, and he makes them weak, and he makes them fearful. And these people who were once able to wield mighty weapons now can't even lift their sword. You better fight for them. You better fight for them. You better be like David, because they can't fight for themselves right now. Those men, they could not fight for themselves. Praise God for a David. Are you a David? Praise God for a David. Somebody who just stood up and said, no more. Who do you think you are? You powerful unbeliever, how dare you rail against the armies of God? I'll face you. Let's go. Come on, I'll take you. Now, you'll notice that the Goliath came in the valley. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There was this big valley, and then Goliath was up here, and the armies of God were over here. And the spirit of Goliath always goes after people in the valley. Why? Because in the valley, you're vulnerable. Once you're down in the valley and somebody's up here, you are in a very vulnerable position. And whenever you're in a valley, the spirit of Goliath will come after you. He'll try to draw you into a valley. He'll wait until you get into a valley. Why? Because you're vulnerable when you're in a valley. But you know what? David didn't care. Didn't care about any of that. What David cared about was David was mad. How dare you do that to the armies of God? How dare you? You have no right. Valley or no valley, I don't care. I don't care how big you are, and I don't care. You know what? You're an unbeliever. I know who God is. And so what David did, it says in the Word of God, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. He ran right down into that valley. He said, let's go. Let's go. I am so tired of this. We're going to go. He was sick and tired of listening to what Goliath said. He said, how dare you? I am running straight at you. I'm not running away from you. I am not afraid of you. Into the valley, he ran by faith. And no matter how vulnerable you are, if you have faith, you're going to be just fine. But if you know you're vulnerable and you smell like fear, your Goliath is going to eat your lunch. So don't smell like fear. You square up with him. You look right at him in faith. And you run toward him. And you say no more. He squared off with him face to face. He took that stone. And you notice he didn't sneak up behind Goliath and throw it at the back of his head. He didn't sneak up behind Goliath and try to cut him out at the knees. He went, let's go right now. You know what? Game on. I'm done. I have had enough. You ever gotten to that point? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm at that point. I'm at that point. Enough is enough is enough. Game on. Face to face. Face to face. And then what he didn't stop when he knocked him down. He cut his head off. Why? When he cut his head off, he cut off his life force to influence. And see, this is what the spirit of Goliath is. You have got to cut off the power and the influence that life force has over that person, or maybe over you. I don't know what the Goliath is doing for you, but he squared up, he ran straight toward him, he took him on face to face, he knocked him down by faith, and then he cut off his head. See, don't pray that sin goes away, pray it dies. Amen. Pray it dies. Amen. It's just flat got to die. Why did Jesus come? So that sin could go away, or so that it would die and have no power over us? He went all the way to hell, and he took the keys so that it would have no power over us. He cut off the life source, and that's what you have to do with David. Cut off the life source. No more. No more. No more will you influence my husband. No more will you create fear in my wife. No more will you cause my sister to be intimidated. In the name of Jesus Christ, I slay you, Goliath, and every power and influence and authority that you ever thought you had over this person. In the name of Jesus, you are dead. Amen. You lying spirit, you are dead in the name of Jesus. And no longer will you influence the person that I love. And you speak to it, you face it, you cut off the influence and the life sword by raising the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut off its ability to influence. Cut off its ability to weaken and intimidate by fear. Cut off that head and then begin to speak truth in. I cut off the influence of that unbelieving spirit right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no longer will you cause confusion in my wife. No longer will you cause confusion in me. I cut you off in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I take the sword of the Spirit and I lift it up and I begin to speak that right over that person. And I said, let me tell you what, my wife is a woman of beauty, and my husband has the soundness of mind. And my children, they belong to the Lord. And you begin to take the truth, which is the sword of the Spirit, and you cut off that influence by speaking that truth into them, whatever that truth may be, or speaking it over you, whatever that truth may be. Know the truth and speak it again and again and again and again and again and again and then again. Every single day, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Not just one time, every day. Goliath came out every day. Every day, square off with your Goliath and say, no more. I strike you dead in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will no longer have any influence over my son. You will no longer have any influence over me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cut you off at the root. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I bind the soundness of Christ's mind to me. I bind it to my children, whatever it is. Face to face, guys, it's time. Face to face. And here's the last one. The last one is learning how to see your mountains removed. In Matthew 17, 20, she'll pull it up there. Here was what a mountain is. A mountain is a circumstantial wall that's standing between you and your promise. That's all it is. That is all it is. Mountains are always points of separation. Aren't they? They're points of separation. They are walls that separate us from where we are and where we want to be. That's all a mountain is. The walls of Jericho were walls of separation between where the children of God were and the promise that God was taking them to, which was on the other side of the wall. In order for them to get to the promise, the walls had to come down. The Red Sea, the Jordan River, mountain-sized obstacles that separated the people of God from where they were to where God promised they were to be. And that's what a mountain is. A mountain is a circumstantial wall that is standing between you and your promise. Here's a real simple visual. Extreme Home Makeover. You get to the very end of the show, and here this family stands. And standing in front of them is this big, long bus. And on the other side of that bus is their promise. That, by the way, they didn't build. Somebody else built that promise for them. And everybody, and you go through 18,000 bazillion commercials, and it's just ridiculous. And all of a sudden, what do they say? Move that bus. That's right. Mountain, be thou removed. Matthew 17, 20. I tell you the truth. I tell you what? I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. From here to there, and it will move. From here to there, and it will move. You need to quit looking for another way to get around the mountain, and you need to tell your mountain, move! Move! I know what's on the other side of you, and what's on the other side of you is the promise that God has already shown me. Now move. Move, move, move. This is my promise. I'm not going another way. I'm telling you, mountain, move out of my way. Mountain of doubt, move out of my way. Mountain of unbelief, be thou removed. Mountain of fear, be thou removed. Mountain of lust, be thou removed. Mountain of picket. I don't care what it is. What is the mountain in front of you? What is the mountain in front of the person that you love? What is the mountain in front of God's dream? Don't look for another way to get around it. We don't have time to get around mountains anymore. It is time to move them. Sometimes the devil makes you go around and around and around because what he realizes is the more times I can get you to walk around the mountain and the more time that I can get you to try to find another way to go, all I do is make you tired. And I fortify that mountain a little bit more. And while you're out wandering around trying to find another way to go, I'm building this thing even bigger. No, be thou removed. Every day. You stand up there, I don't care if you have to drive up to the top of Sin's Hill and look at those mountains and go, be moved. We either believe it or we don't. Amen. We either believe that we can slay Goliath or we don't. We either believe that we can say, let my people go, or we don't. We either believe that we can remove mountains of fear and doubt and debt and addiction and anger and bitterness or whatever. We either believe it if we don't. And if we don't believe it, then what are we doing in the army? Why are we here? Why are we here? Because we are wasting our time. We either have given our lives to the truth or we've given our lives to a lie. And if we've given our lives to the truth, then let's act like it and let's fight for it. And let's say we're in a holy war. And quitting is not an option, and losing is not an option. And whatever this mountain is, I'm just looking at you right now, and I'm telling you, I am not looking for another way. I am commanding you to get out of my way, because that's mine. That dream is mine. That husband is mine. That wife is mine. Those children are mine. That sanity is mine. That confidence is mine. That peace is mine. That forgiveness is mine. That grace is mine. So get out of my way. And you got to do this every day. Not like you're just going to get all excited tonight. Every day. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord, every day I wake up. And this is what I do. I said, let my people go. They don't belong to you, they belong to me, and they belong to him. And the blood of Jesus Christ is all around them, and you will let them go. And you, spirit of unbelief, you spirit of fear, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you dare to come and intimidate the armies of God, that you dare to take down that person, that you dare to take down God's dream? How dare you? I say no. No more. I'm going to survive. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to survive bloody. Why? Because I'm winning. I will not lay down. I will not run away. And I am not going around one more stinking mountain. I'm going face to face. And if I die, I die, but at least I die in glory. I do not die cowering like whatever. And I don't die in judgment going, well, they did it to themselves. No. I'm not just fighting for me. I'm fighting for the armies of God. I'm fighting for the big and the strong and the powerful that have been taken captive. I'm fighting for the prisoners of war. I'm fighting for God. He fought for me. I'm fighting for him. Out of Mount Zion is coming a remnant. Out of Mount Zion is coming a band of survivors. And it's going to look just about like this. Not a group. If we try to be a group of survivors, we're going to get picked off one at a time. But if we band together, it took 12. We got more than 12. And like I said, it's quite interesting to me because sometimes one of the things that the devil's real good at is lying, which is why you should always be warring against a lying spirit. But he always likes to say, oh, it's just happening to your family. Oh, it's just happening to you, Rebecca. Oh, it's just happening to your church. Why? Because then you're scared. Lift up your eyes and look around you. Huge, mega churches, mighty men of God, preaching the same thing right now. They're watching their own churches getting shaved away because people are scattering. Because the devil's ramping up for one last fight. And you're either going to be part of the remnant that survives, or you're going to be the part that scatters and dies. But you're going to have to find some courage. And you're going to have to say, I'm in it. And I'm in it to fight. And I'm in it to survive. Not by my power, by my spirit, says the Lord. You can't do this. But if you believe, then he'll do it. Like I said, Moses was nobody special. David was nobody special. They were people just like you and me. They didn't have any more talent. They didn't have any more skill. Nothing. They just happened to believe that maybe, just maybe, God had power. Maybe, just maybe. And I'm going to tell you, we have so much more than they did. We got the Holy Ghost. We got so much more power. We got so much more authority. We got so much more on the inside of us. So look your Goliath in the eye. And kill him. Every day, just kill him. Look your Pharaoh in the eye every day and say, let my people go. Let me go. I do not want to serve you anymore. No more. You will let me go in the name of Jesus. And you look at your mountain and you say, we've danced long enough. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. And then do it every day. Get up tomorrow and do it again. Get up the next day and do it again. Get up the next day and do it again. If you can't focus, then put on your tennis shoes and start walking and war while you're out there walking. If that's what you have to do to focus. Every day. Every day. Until the mountains are removed and the Goliaths are dead and the people are free from Pharaoh. Then what we'll do is we'll go find some more POWs. And we'll fight for them too. Because we're going to band as many of the remnant to us as we can. Amen? Yes, you may say whatever you want.
When David stood before him, and they were all cowering, when David took Goliath's head, he broke the bondage of Goliath over the army.
Mm-hmm.
And the army stood up with David, and they chased down the Philistines, and they slew them all, and they pillaged them.
Amen. That's right. He took it back. Which is part of what we're doing. We're taking back. We're taking back what was taken. Did you want to say something, Brandy?
Yes. And I want to remind people what they're fighting for. Because I'm a product of the war that my husband went to. And our family is who it is today. Because this man fought. And I was not a prize when he was fighting for me, let me tell you. I was not a prize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's mean to you, and it lies to you.
Mm-hmm.
Keep fighting.
That's right.
Remember that there is a promised land in Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's absolutely right. And what keeps us from fighting is always one of two things. It's either fear or it's judgment. It's one of the two. I'm too afraid to fight for you, or you're not worthy to me fight for you. I don't think it will matter, so why bother to fight for you, which is judgment. Right, it's not going to make any difference, so I'm not going to fight for you, which is all judgment. Or fear, I don't want to poke the bear. Bear's already scary enough. I don't want to make it any matter. I hear Christians say that all the time. You better make him mad. You better make the devil annoyed with you. He pokes you all day long. You should poke him more. I do things just to irritate him, because he does things to irritate me all the time. And I don't say that with haughtiness. I say that like people come against me and do mean things, and I just love them. Why? Because it irritates the devil. Because it irritates him. Because he couldn't win. You wanted me to hate that person. I loved them. Guess what? It didn't work. It didn't work. So yeah, you're right. Remember what you're fighting for. Remember who you're fighting for. Like I said, these are the armies of God, which means these are strong people. What if David would have just mocked these guys? And went like, really? You should know better than to be in fear. I mean, you got a lot more skill than I do. Why should I fight for you? What's wrong with you? You should be fighting for me. Come on. See, he didn't do that. He's like, how dare you? How dare you come against the armies of God? There was no judgment there. There was a right heart there. And so he fought for those people so that they could have their strength back, so that they could have their position back, so that they could fight effectively once again. Just like when Moses went to the captors, the tormentors. Have you ever been so tormented you did things that you knew you didn't want to do? Yeah. And Moses said, let my people go. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean that you can't get in a POW camp called Egypt. And you better pray to God somebody loves you enough to say, let my people go. I think about those prisoners of war, like we talked about. Just hoping and praying somebody loves me enough to keep coming after me. No matter what kind of condition I'm in, and regardless of how I ended up here, I pray to God there's somebody out there that loves me enough that they will fight through everything and say, let my people go. They don't belong to you. They belong to me. And I've come to get them. So let them go. That's the power you have. You have that kind of power. But I'm going to tell you something. You better know it. And you better believe it. And then you better use it. Years ago, my husband started traveling. And we always had outdoor dogs, didn't have an indoor dog at the time. And he's had to travel a lot, and the boys are really small. And I asked him for an indoor dog, because outdoor dogs, you can't always hear them when you're sleeping. So I wanted to know when somebody broke into the house. And he said, well, I would rather just get you a gun and train you how to protect the family when I'm not here. And I said, I don't know that I want to do that. And he said, well, why not? And I said, because I know right now I'm afraid of them. And if I'm afraid of it, they'll turn it on me. Now, he trained me. Here's how he trained me. He went out, he bought me a gun, and took me to the range. And there was a guy who is a shooting specialist and blah, 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 blah. And he's going to teach me how to shoot. And so they put up the little target. You know, I'm standing here with my little gun. I'm doing this. And it would go boom, and I'd kind of like, wow, it's got a lot of power. And it just really kind of freaked me out, which is kind of what we do with the power of God sometimes, which is why we get our lunch handed to us, because you don't really know what you're doing. You don't really believe. You're kind of scared. You're a little intimidated. You're not really sure what's going to happen. And so this instructor would look at me, and he'd go, just, you know, and stand and breathe and, you know, whatever. And I was doing the best I could. I really wasn't playing around. I was really trying to do this, because I took very seriously the fact that I was a woman alone with two small children in a house, and my husband was going to be gone. And so he goes, okay, wait a minute. Take a deep breath. And he starts playing around with this target. And he goes, all right, now shoot. And when I turned around, he changed the target. And it was a picture of Andy. It's a two-year-old that he'd blown up life-size and put in the arms of a man who had a gun to his head. And I picked that gun up. Boom, 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 boom! And I hit him right in the face. Let my people go. Let my people go. And he said, you see that? He said, you just weren't committed enough. I just made it real for you. I said, okay. You did. You made it very real. I get it. That's my kid. Let my people go. I'm going to kill you. But you're going to let my people go. Amen? He's not playing around. Don't play around. Amen? Amen. So we're just going to go into a time of worship tonight. I don't really have anything else to say. I want you to get serious tonight. I want you to get audible tonight. I want you to start talking to your own. I want you to begin to get a little confidence on the inside of you. Speak to your pharaohs. Tell them, let my people go. Loose. Lord, loose me from this addiction. Loose me from this fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, loose me from this. Loose my family from this. I say to this mountain, I am done with you. Be thou removed. Do a little warfare tonight. Amen? If you need prayer, I am more than happy and here to pray for you. But maybe you just need a warrior's heart. If you don't have a warrior's heart, I'll tell you, this is something that I had to learn. I was a warrior as a youth because of a lot of the circumstances in my life put me in that stance. And then I got saved, and I became a nice, quiet, peaceable, submitted wife and daughter of God. And God reminded me. Remember that scrappy little girl that used to take down boys 5 grades older than you in the street? Used to pull their hair out and scrape their face and cause them to run back to their mommies? He said, find her again. Let's go to war. So I'm back. And I'm serious. And I'm fighting. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Noelle, find me some war songs. Always. Never let enemies camp there. Let's start with enemies camp. All right? I told Randy this recently. We were talking, and he's like, maybe you could shoot something. Well, I don't know. You're pretty sweet. I started telling him stories, and he's like, wow, you? I said, I haven't seen that side of me in a long time, but she's coming back, Randy. He's like, okay, well. All right, let's go.
Well, I went to the end.